You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
We're going to go into a new series. We've called it Eternity. And we're going to start to speak about eternity and how this thing works in our life. And we're going to touch upon some subjects. Where do we go when we die? We're going to touch upon some subjects about there's a good place, there's a bad place. And how long and how do we get there and all of these things. And so we're going to talk about that. But the first thing I want to really address is about here and now and how eternity interacts with us now as we're alive. And so I was thinking about this when I was a kid, basically very, very young. I must have been maybe in my head, I see it as maybe 9, 10, 11, 12, about that age. There was a pair of trainers that I really wanted to have. And so all I was thinking about was these trainers. I think we might have a picture of them here. These. Hey, these are just came out when I was that age. Some of you are like, these are classics, these are retro. No, these were new back then. They had just come out, and I saw them in a sports shop in Wharf Road, just up the road from Elephant and Castle. And so I was bugging my mom and my uncle, and they usually were the ones that would always be buying me these trainers. And so I wanted them so bad, and I remember getting them. I got them. And I was so into these trainers. Have you ever really wanted something so bad that you couldn't stop thinking about it? That almost when you get it, you think, when I get that, you can almost see yourself walking when you get it. And when you just felt good. Have you ever had anything? A new jacket, new eyebrows, new hair, new nails. Amen. Let's move on. And so I remember having these, and my mom got them for me. And like I said, I think my mom and my uncle, so we got them. And I remember, I never forget this, I remember lying down in my bed and thinking, where are my trainers? And I got back up and I put them in such a place in the corner of the room so that when I went to sleep, I could see them. And when I woke up, I could see them. You know, I was only young. I was crazy. But I got these trainers and I wore them out. And I remember wearing them to school and wearing them to my friend's house. And when you got new stuff, I mean, you just want to go out. You're going to be tired and you just want to go out. And so I remember going out places, but bit by bit, they started to get old. They started to get scuffed. They started to, you know, just deteriorate. And, you know, they were no longer the buzz that I had thinking about them before I got it. And the buzz that I had when I first got them wore out. And I remember thinking about this as it goes on in life, that I learned in life that, Courtney, nothing really makes me happy. Like, getting it at first makes me happy, but then after a while, it doesn't make me happy anymore. I remember hearing music and being in, you know, I wasn't saved. I remember being in the world, you're listening to music, and hearing a tune and playing it again and again and again and again and again because you loved it so much. And then after a while, it doesn't make me feel like that anymore. How many of you ever know what I'm talking about here? When you get something new, you wanted something, and once you get it, it no longer really fulfills you. And I remember learning this in life quite early, thinking, nothing really fulfills me. It makes me happy, it's temporal, but nothing really gives me this feeling. It's like it always wears out, and I have to get a new thing, and then a new thing, and then a new thing. Well, I've got the answer for that, and the reason why it is that. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. So everything has a time where it's nice and you like it. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that one can find out the works that God does from the beginning to the end. The Bible says here that God has put eternity in our hearts. That there is something in every single man, black or white, rich or poor, young or old, that God has put within you that you yearn for eternity. There is something in you that says, as much as everything can be good at a certain point in time, But after a while, I yearn for more. We're going to talk about that. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. We pray for your love, your kindness, Lord God, to reveal your presence to us. Father, I pray, speak to the spirit man. Traffic in the spirit realm. Father, we have no confidence in our talent or ability or just the lights and the sound and all of those things. They're nice. But Father, we need spiritual transformation to take place today. Father, I pray that that longing that's in our soul for eternity, that we would meet with you, Father, and you would meet with us. And we'd leave here knowing that, Father, we are closer to you, closer to eternity, and more at peace with you. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let me start with this whole issue of eternity being in us. See, this sermon is called, there's more than meets the eye. Eternity, more than meets the eye. There's more to you that meets the eye. The problem with life is that we can't see one another. Today, the problem with life is I can't see you and you can't see me. And you might be like, well, I can see you well and good. Maybe you can't see. No. I can't see you and you can't see me. What I mean by that is I can't see the real you. I see what's on the outside. And maybe the best way for me to illustrate that, think about what we live in a computer age. And so we understand these terminologies. You have hardware and you have software. How many are with me so far? I know it's Sunday, but we can get a bit deep on a Sunday as well. So we have hardware and we have software. And so you have a computer, and then you can have software. Actually, the better illustration is you have a mobile phone. Let's say you're saved, you got an iPhone. Amen. And then maybe if you're not, then there's always those other things that you can Samsung. praise God. But let's think about this now. So you have, imagine this now. How many know? This is an iPhone, and so I've got my timer on there. I always got the timer to make sure I don't preach all day and all of that. So I always have this up here. This is an iPhone. And so think about this now. If this iPhone was turned off and run out of power, you could look at it all over, but you wouldn't know what context I have in it. How many know that? You wouldn't know. You could actually even X-ray it. You still wouldn't know what context I have in it. You could dismantle it and analyze every wire and every chip and every processor, but you wouldn't actually know what was in it, because you're only looking at the hardware. For you to understand what contacts and what pictures I've got in it, you would have to have some power in it, and you would have to know your way around the software. See, you could have two phones here. We could have two iPhones, and they'd look exactly the same, but they could have different contacts and different photos in them. See, that's how we are. And you, as we look at your body, we're just looking at the hardware. But the real you is the spiritual side, the unseen, the software on the inside. This is why mankind can't solve its deep issues and its deep feelings and thoughts by just analyzing the outside. Mankind can analyze us biologically and physically, and they can X-ray us, but deep inside is the real you. All I'm seeing right now is the hardware. This is why people get themselves into problems, because they date someone or marry someone based upon their hardware. But they never took the time to understand how to get around their software, to know who they are on the inside. See, the Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 28. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, that you may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks here is that man is built up of spirit, soul, and body. Or, the other way around, body, soul, and spirit. That's what the Bible says. Every single one of you are a body, but you have a soul, and you also have a spirit. That's what every single person here is built up of. Body, soul, and spirit. Now let me take some time to explain the different functions of these different elements of what we are. And this is, let me throw this out there. We understand that we serve a Trinity God. God is three in one. And God has made man in a trinity. He's made him body, soul, and spirit. The body functions by the five senses. And so think about this now. Your body, the realm of the body is the five senses. And so for those of you, I don't know if we're going to put that up there. Okay, we put five senses. So the five senses are your sight. It's one. Your hearing, two. Your feeling, three. Your scent, four. What is it? Oh, it's not a sin. Say it. Tasting. You taste things. And so these are the five things that you can observe the universe around you. If we take those senses away, you wouldn't know anything was there. If you couldn't feel, you wouldn't know if you were standing or floating. If you couldn't see, you wouldn't know if it was light or dark. If you couldn't hear, you wouldn't know if it was loud or quiet. If you couldn't taste, you wouldn't know what it tastes like. And if you couldn't hear or whatever the other one was, I've forgotten. But that's the reality. These are the five senses. And so this is your body. Your body is in the five senses. But you also have a soul. And your soul is really your conscience, your imagination, your affections, your reasoning. We could say that these are your passions, your memories. This is really who you are. This is what makes you different than me, is your soul. See, it's not your body that makes you different than me, because your body has, if you're fully healthy, your body has the five senses I have. Your body doesn't have any more senses than these five. You may have less. If you're blind, you've lost one of the senses. If you're deaf, you've lost one of the senses. But you cannot have any more than five in the body. So what makes you different than me is the soul. So this is what you really are. And this is why I said, is that I can't really see you. No one can really see somebody's soul. They can't look through you and see your soul. And so that's who you really are. This is where your imagination comes from. Now at this point you may say, Pastor, what about the brain? Well, you can, like I said, hardware, software. You can x-ray the brain of an architect and not find a building. You can x-ray the brain of a musician and not find a melody. You can x-ray the brain of someone who's of Bill Gates. And we could find an exactly same brain as Bill Gates. And nothing was produced. See, it's more than this. We understand that there is the physical, but there is also the supernatural. And so that is the soul. This is who you really are. And then there's the spirit. In the spirit realm, and we're going to go through it quickly because we'll talk about it more at the end. Faith, hope, worship, prayer, revelation, discernment, spiritual discernment. See, the real you is your soul. But the problem is this. And this is where the problem is. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God told Adam and Eve, if you sin, you will die. Now, if you know your Bible, you will know that they sinned against God and we've all become sinners. But they didn't die instantly. How many of you ever looked at that? You clocked that? Okay, so what we're saying is, this didn't die instantly. Because they didn't physically die instantly, did they? This started to decay, but this didn't die. This didn't die instantly because they still knew who they were. They still had their consciousness of being a being, a person. And when you think about how we think, it realizes there must be more to us than the physical form. Because you talk about my brain. Now, when you say my, it means that there's something that you own, but it's not quite you. Because you talk about my car, my house. When you say the way that we talk about our bodies, we talk about something like it belongs to us, but it's not quite us. My body. My? How many get me here? Some of you, okay. Well, this didn't die instantly when Adam and Eve sinned. This didn't die instantly when Adam and Eve sinned. This is what died. Their spirit died when Adam and Eve sinned. And the spirit is how we connect with God. God connects to you through spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you he has made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin. See, can we go back to the body, soul, and spirit, please? And so the Spirit is how we connect with God. The Bible says in the book of John, when Jesus is ministering to this woman at the well, Jesus says to the woman at the well that, listen, God is Spirit, and those that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And so the Bible says the way that we connect with God, God always wants to connect with us through our spirit man. But once man denied God, he violated God, he sinned against God, he became spiritually dead. And in our text it says, because of your sin, you have died spiritually. If you've ever traveled, gone abroad, gone to America, gone to Europe, and you don't have your data on. How many know what I'm talking about? On your mobile phone, you go abroad, you got no data. And unless you're a baller and you can just afford those, you know, £1 a minute, £1 a megabyte, stupid things. You know, you're just turning off that baby. No. No WhatsApp for 2 weeks. And so it's so annoying because you realize without, you know, at first you're like, you got your phone's on. If you needed to call someone, you could, but you don't call nobody because that's even more expensive. And so, but you got your phone. If you've got a smartphone, if you've ever like forgotten that, you know, you got no data and you start to use certain apps and you realize they need data. They need data. They don't work. And so here you have this phone, which is perfectly functional. Here you have this software, but something is missing because it's not connected. It's there and it's alive and it's functioning, but it is a limited functionality. Some of the apps and all of the things that the phone could do, was made to do, designed to do, cannot do. Can I tell you, this is how mankind is. Mankind has lost his data with God. Sin turned off the data. And now he's functioning, he's living, he's going to work, he's getting up, he's eating, he's having a girlfriend and a girl's having a boyfriend, and they're going raving and they're drinking and they're smoking. Oh yeah, this is life, but God is saying this is not the real life because this is not fully functioning, just existing in this. And this is why we find something's missing. Mankind is going through life thinking something is missing. See, the body and soul is only half a person. You're only half a person. And there is a word, maybe some of you have heard it, maybe this might be new to some of you. It's called soulish. A soulish man. And a soulish man is a man who just exists within these two realms of body and soul. In the Bible, there's a Greek word for it, but it's translated many times as natural. You're reading the Bible. Do not be just like a natural man. It means don't live in just those two realms. It speaks about sensual. Someone who is sensual. They're living by their senses. Remember, a sensual person, remember, we said this is who you are. But if you're living, if you don't have this to help this, you don't have faith, hope, worship, prayer, revelation to help who you are, and this is turned off, where are you getting all your revelation from? Where are you getting your information and your inspiration from? Only the five senses. This is everything now, and this is why they call it sensual, because you live in your senses. The Bible says in Genesis 2 verse 7, I'm going to read that in a second, sorry. Genesis 2 verse 7, you put it up anyway. See, I'm not saying that the body is bad. How many know the body's not bad? Sometimes Christians make everything about the body bad. It's bad. The body is bad. They forget God made the body. God made the body. So, like, the body is bad. Sex is bad. Let's not talk about sex. No, sex is not bad. God made sex. God designed sex. God put pleasure in sex. Food is not bad. Laughing and joking and having a good time is not bad. You know, God has made us. We're not, because we're Christians now, it doesn't mean that we don't even live by the body. No. Listen, you're going to have to go toilet. No, the body is telling you things, and God designed the body. The problem is, sorry, go back to the thing again. This is the problem here, is that everything here is just temporal. This can only tell you about the temporal things. Remember what we said, eternity is in the heart of man. This can only function on the temporal. This is to keep you grounded here on earth. So you know what to do and how to live on earth. Everything here is temporal. The problem is this, the soul. Say the soul is eternal. Your soul is eternal. And that's why this side of your life, if you just live by these senses, you never really truly feel fulfilled. Because this is eternal. How do we know the soul is eternal? The Bible shows us in Genesis, so you put the scripture back up there. Genesis 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So he gave him a body. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, or we could say a living soul. Here is man, he's made, God gave him a body, he formed it, he formed him a body, but then the Bible says, and God breathed into his nostrils. God, who is an eternal being. The way that the Bible describes it, the best analogy or the best description of what actually happened there, the way that the Bible describes it, it says that God breathed into him. God is eternal, and God breathed eternity into this being. So your soul has always been eternal. I'm not saying that you was conscious before that moment of conception, but what is in you is eternal. And that is why the soul is what is going to go on for eternity. Your soul is going to go on for eternity. Your soul yearns for eternity. But people that live in the body and the soul, they're soulish people, they're unfulfilled. Let's put the back up, please. If you live like this, this is always... This side of your life, your body, your natural, is always going to pull you over here. Now, I want an analogy. I need some help here. I need three guys to come up. I think I spoke to you guys. Come up, please. Three guys coming up. So we're going to do a little, we haven't done one of these for a while. Praise God. Give them a round of applause as they come up. Let's get these three chairs. They can go here. Amen. Nice seeing you. Just three in a row. Put them three in a row. Okay. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. And so, sit down in the chairs, please, guys. Wonderful. Can you all see them? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Handsome young men. Amen. Oh, look at the way it's worked out. This one's married. This one's dating. This one's single. So, amen. So, you can be the spirit. You can be the body. And the soul. Soul man. And so... This is one person. This is one being. This is how we are. So we're not saying this is three people. You're like, the spirit is saying, hi, how you doing? And, you know, people that talk to themselves having a conversation, what's going on? No, it's my soul talking about. No. We're not talking about that. This is one person. And so the Bible says that when we sinned, this went dark. And so you're over here. And so this is the soulish man. This is the unsaved man. And so everything that the body, all the information that the body has, it feeds it to the soul. So the soul is, this is who you are. This is your reasoning. This is your intellect. This is how you, who, this is the individual. But where is it receiving his information from? His understanding? Where is he receiving all this from? The only place is the body. See, the body is always talking about temporal things. The body wants to, if you're hungry, the body wants to eat. And so the body would just say, eat. Tell him to eat. Well, tell him to eat. Okay, then you just told him to eat. That's how it works. And so the body says, I'm tired. Tell him I'm tired. Yeah, and so if you've only got your body, what happens is this. As soon as you want to eat, I'm eating. Nothing else to tell you. As soon as I'm tired, I'm tired. As soon as let's look at another. The body has needs, sexual needs. The body likes having sex. Let's just keep that real. Going quiet in there, right? You ever wanted like to get everybody quiet? Just say sex in church and people just go really quiet. And so the body has needs. And so some, hot chicky babe can walk past. Yeah? And so the body, remember the body's just the body. The body's like, it's fine. Say it's fine. Okay. And you nodded, oh my days. And so think about this now. Now he looks. So think about this now. This could be a married man. This could be a married man, and there's a girl on the workplace, and she's like, you know, she's one of those women that's just insecure and always popping out and pushing out and rounding and all of that. And so she's leaning over to dad. You're so wonderful. You know, and so he's at an argument with his wife, and he's like, yeah, you know what? We need to have a good look there. And so the body says that to the soul, and so now the soul will do it because he's a fleshy man. This is what a fleshy man would do. Sometimes the body's not going to feel like praying. Sometimes the body's not going to feel like coming to church. Sometimes the body doesn't feel like worshiping. Sometimes people upset you. People get on. How many people can upset you? Even in the church. I know it's hard to believe in the church with such good-looking people like this. But sometimes people will upset you. And the body will say, let's not go this week. Let's not do this. Let's not do that. And everything is soulish. The body is always pulling the soul towards the earthly. But the problem is, the soul is eternal. And the soul says, eternity. I want eternity. Say, I want eternity.
I want eternity.
Yes. And so, this is why the body says, okay, let's go out raving. But it doesn't fulfill me. Let's go partying, but it doesn't fulfill me. Let's get drunk, but it doesn't fulfill me. Oh, let's go for that new boyfriend. It doesn't fulfill me. Let's go for that new girlfriend. It doesn't fulfill me. The body keeps suggesting all of these things. And the world has learned that the body works like this. So the world has developed advertisement. And the world has developed marketing and branding. And all of these things to persuade the body to tell the soul what to do. But the soul does it, and after it's done it, it keeps saying, I'm still unfulfilled. I still want more. Eternity is in my heart. There's a problem. I need something more. The Bible says this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural, that's the soulish, that word in Greek, man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Does anybody here have a Bible? A physical Bible? Who has a physical Bible? Not anybody? You have one? Okay. Cressy, could we borrow her Bible behind you? Bring your Bible up here. Amen. I like that. Cressy always has a fan club, man. At least two. Amen. No. Come on. You've got a fan club. You deserve to be on here. So here's the Bible now. And so this is, how many of the Bible is the Word of God? The Bible is spiritual. And so the Bible says this, that we read just a moment ago. So the soul wants the eternal. The soul needs the Word of God. The soul needs to feed on the Word of God because the soul has had alcohol, and the soul has had career, and the soul has had money and sex, and it's still unfulfilled. And so the soul is like, I need this. And the Bible says this, that when the Bible or the Word of God or prayer or spiritual things are suggested to the body, hold on to it and try and give it to the body. Body, push it away. The Bible says that, you know what? The body won't receive it. Because the reason why, the body only understands those five senses. The body only stands sight. Where can I see God? Hearing, meaning that when a vocal cord or some sound distributes wavelengths, well, God doesn't have a vocal box like that. I have to feel, I have to taste, I have to hear or sense. And so God is, so we're trying to give you spiritual things, which is a way. No, I don't want spiritual things. No, come on, spiritual things. No, you can't receive them, so the soul still starves. A soulish man, the Bible says, he cannot understand spiritual things. He's not getting it. He's not growing. He can be in church, but he will not go any further. He will not understand. Some of us, we went away to the marriage retreat. And there was no reception there. How many knows that? There was hardly any reception there. And so my wife saw that I was on the internet. You know what she said? She said, what is the Wi-Fi code? was deep today. Like, you wanted to hear something deep that my wife said to me on marriage. Like, I love you. No, no. She goes, what is the wife? Where is the wife? What is the Wi-Fi called? Think about this now. Once she got on the Wi-Fi, she could receive information. See, don't worry. You weren't up here for no reason. Come here. This is God's Wi-Fi. Put it up. It's the Spirit. See, we all said, here, listen, we want to download something that's really important for everybody. This is the Wi-Fi. This is the Wi-Fi code. If you did not go onto the Wi-Fi, you wouldn't receive it. That's why there could be some here receiving and others not receiving. There could be some people in church and they're getting the same message. They're getting the same treatment. They're getting the same stuff, the same ministry. But if they're the soulish, like we said here, when it's tried to be offered, you know what to do? I'm not receiving it. It's like, Pastor, I'm not growing. Nothing's happening here. What's going on? But the reality is you've got to turn on the Spirit. Come around here. Receive it from Him. Take it from Him. Give it to the soul. Soul, you're happy now. Yeah. See, this is the avenue in which God speaks to you. This is the avenue where God is going to deal with you. We're not saying that this is wicked. God made this to govern the temporal things. God made this to govern the temporal things. You have to eat. You have to sleep. It's natural to want to have intimacy and have a partner and have children and make money and get a job. All these things are not evil. They're right. But the reality is, this has to be the governing process. So this man, remember, this man is married now, and this guy says, look at her. Look at her.
No, you're married.
And so the soul says, no, I'm married. I can't be doing that. Because the spirit says to the soul, and this is where he's getting his influence from. This is where he's governed by. This is what it means to be a spiritual man, a spiritual person. Give them a round of applause. You guys can sit down now. See, the Bible says that the soulish man cannot even receive. And so there's two things here. That the soulish man cannot understand spiritual things, will not receive spiritual things. Not only that, the soulish man is not going to be fulfilled. Soulish people are never fulfilled. Have you not learned that this world is totally unfulfilled? They have to keep redesigning themselves, re-coming up with new ways to sell us the same thing. See, we've got to be very careful that we don't become a soulless church. There are many soulless churches in these last days. And what I mean by that is that the soulless man, that we looked here when Everett and Martin are here, and the soulless man, if we tell the soulless man, listen, keep coming, you'll get a job. I'll come to church for that. Keep coming, you'll get a wife. Yeah, I'll come to church for that. Keep coming and you're going to make money. Yeah, I'll come to church for that. What all we're doing is feeding the soulless man. What we need to do is get to the place and say, listen, you might not get none of those things. You might not get those things right away. But what you're going to get is the springs of the Spirit. And if he's a spiritual man, he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to get what I need because this is what I was looking for. I did not come to the church to find what I could find in the world. We've got to be very careful because the soulish man can also be emotional. People can go to a concert. I was looking at that, you know, it's a tragedy that the, you know, the crazy terrorist people, they blew up the concert of that, I don't know who she is, she's singing in Manchester. You know, I'm not making light of it. It was a tragedy, terrible, wicked. But then they had another concert afterwards to kind of raise money. And they, you know what, they're trying to do a nice thing. So I'm not going to diss it or say anything bad about it. They're saying, you know, it doesn't change the world, but they're trying to do the thing. And in that concert, the second concert, people are crying. People have lifted their hands. And as I'm looking at that, I'm like, it's emotion. It's not bad, it's not evil, but it's just emotion. Those people are not touching with God. Those people are not in the spirit realm. Those are soulish people. The music and the lyrics is soulless. It's all to do with the soul. It was all to do with lovey-dovey and this and that. And it's all to do with the temple. None of it was pointing towards God, the eternal. None of it. But people were emotional and they were weeping. And God's Spirit said to me, people in church can be like this. They could be soulish. And Courtney, when you tell them soulish things, they get emotional, they get excited. And people, I get emotional when I hear this and I've done this and I've done that. But we've got to be very careful that we don't become soulish Christians. See, many of us, when we think of eternal life, we think eternal life starts when we die. John 4 verse 13 says this. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. Spoke a little bit about her earlier on. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of the water, this water will thirst again. Jesus met this woman at a natural well. She's dealing with her normal body. Remember, her body would have taken her there. This is the thirsty, you need the water, physical water. She's drinking this physical water. Jesus says, but whoever drinks of that water, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. And that is a sign of just feeding the flesh. You're going to need to do it again. How many know you can't eat a month's worth of food in one day? Some people look like they try when you take them to Nando's, but you can't. You know, you physically can't. You can only eat so much, and then the next 2 days, you're going to, at least, you need to eat again. That's the way God has designed us. The body is all about the temporal. God has designed it like that. It's not wicked. It's just the way God has designed it. And Jesus says, if you just live feeding your temporal needs, you're going to thirst again. It's not revelation, but it's the truth. Then in verse 14 he says, well, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst. But that water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus says that, listen, when you accept me, your spirit man comes alive. See, the only way that your spirit man, the only way that your spirit comes alive is by you becoming born again. This is why we say we're born again Christians. We weren't physically born again. We weren't soul born again. But our spirit that was dead is now alive. That's what it means to be born again. Your spirit is alive. You think, why are they calling themselves born again? Because your spirit is now alive. It was once dead. This is why it's no use you trying to make an unsaved person understand all the deep things of God and the beauty of God and all those things. You can't take a blind man to an art gallery. You cannot take a deaf man to a concert. What must first happen? When you're dealing with unsaved people, the first thing you've got to give them is the gospel. The gospel. Tell them, listen, Jesus can make your spirit man alive. Don't get into debates with them about, oh, did you know about this? Did you know about tithing? Did you know about the church? Did you know about this? Did you know about this? All of that. The Bible says the carnal man cannot receive the things of the spirit. You're trying to win them and they keep pushing it away. Oh, they're just stubborn. And no, that's what the body does. The natural man pushes away the things of the spirit. Until his spirit man comes alive. Stop swearing around me. He's not saved. No, unsaved people are going to swear. Unsaved people are going to do those things. What we need to do is give them the gospel. They need the gospel. Their spirit man must come alive. Jesus says, listen, once you receive me, you get everlasting life there and then. Once you receive me, you're born again. Remember the scripture we read in Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you, he made alive. He made alive. You, he made alive. When you get saved, the spirit man comes alive. When the spirit man is alive, you're no longer limited to the five senses of the natural. You have other ways of actually interpreting situations. See, the spirit man, he said, is faith, hope, worship, prayer, revelation, discernment. And so, I've said this before, but it bears repeating. The five senses. Sometimes in life doesn't make sense. Amen? Sometimes, let's be honest, we go through things sometimes.
as Christians, non-Christians, we go through life, and sometimes you're in a circumstance, you're in a situation, and you're saying, this don't make sense. This don't make sense to me. What you're saying is, I can't sense the answer. And if you've only got, if you're not born again and you're a soulish person, that's when you become discouraged. That's when you allow this to change your conscience and your imagination, your reason, and everything becomes darkened and hopeless and all of these things because life doesn't make sense. Maybe the doctor says, listen, your health is bad. We can't do nothing for you. Like, this doesn't make sense. But if you have your spirit man, you have hope. The spirit man is saying, listen, I know what the doctor says, but God is a healer. God is a healer.
In your senses, you look at your marriage and you say, my marriage is over. This marriage is too difficult. It's not worth moving it. But your spirit man says, have faith. Have faith. Your senses say, listen, I've been single. I'm getting older and older and sick. You listen, the body said, listen, your standards are too high. Lower your standards. Just go find some brother. Lower your standards. Just find out, hey, look, he's alive. He's almost alive. Just, there you go. This makes sense to the body. No. This is hope. Hope. You lose your job, lose a loved one, family member, lose your health. You should be depressed. That's what the body's saying. Be depressed. Spirit says, no, worship God. Worship God. Worship God because eternity is in you. Because nothing that happens here can really destroy this. This is going to go on for eternity either way. Whether we go to heaven or hell, this is for eternity. Nothing here needs to affect this unless you allow it. Some of you may think, why are they always telling us to worship and pray and read our Bibles? Because we want to get stronger here. When it doesn't make sense, you can still have faith and hope. When it doesn't make sense, you can still pray and worship God. When it doesn't make sense, you can still have the Word of God being a light to your path. And the big thing I want to say is that when you're saved and you're living by the Spirit, you have fulfillment. What God wants to do is He wants us to go deeper and deeper. See, the world is like this. If you live in the world is like, okay, you have that boyfriend, I'm tired of that now. You have that car, I'm tired of that now. You get that house, I'm tired of that. And so you're constantly looking for new things. And the soul is like, unfulfilled. But if you're living in the Spirit man is not introducing, doesn't have to reinvent new things. The Spirit is saying, just get deeper into me. You want fulfillment? Come deeper. This is why some people, they get saved, and for a while, they were like, oh, this is so good. And now they're like, oh. It's not that you need a new thing, just go deeper. You didn't go deeper. The Spirit is always saying, come, let's go deeper now. Let's go to the next level now. And until you breathe your last breath, our goal should be, I want to be more like Christ. I want to know God more. I want to get deeper in the Spirit. And as you do that, you find this joy and this fulfillment. And Jesus described it. He says, inside of you, there is a fountain of water springing up, giving you eternal life. The day I got saved, something happened to me. I went home and I lived with a few guys and they offered me some weed, alcohol. I was going to go out and I was like, it wasn't even like I knew it was wrong. It was something in me said, I don't want to. It was like I was filled with something. There's too many Christians, they're empty, trying to not do the wrong thing. A starving man will pick up an old trashy burger, half eaten, been there for weeks, and he will eat it because he's starving. We've got to stop trying to tell the people of God, hey, don't eat that. Listen, what we need to tell them, go in the Spirit. Get filled more.
come and dine with Christ. Live in the spirit realm. Touch God in prayer. Touch God in worship. Touch God with faith and hope and revelation and discernment and look at life. And in that, you could take the same man that would have grabbed the burger and ate it. And we say, listen, before you eat that, come and try this. And we take him to a restaurant. We sit him down. We put a napkin on him. And we say, okay, this is the starters. This is the next starters. You know, in posh places, we have two starters. This is the main. This is the other. And then we feed him. We feed him. We fellowship with him. And he comes out. And he can look at that same thing that he once loved. Get out my face. I'm full. That's how I'm living. That's how I'm living, church. I don't know about you. That's how I'm living. I want to go. That's how I'm living. I keep going back. And I keep finding, every time I go back, there's more for me. And 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 there's more for me. Live like this. You are an eternal being, and there's nothing on this world that can ever fulfill you. Use this world to give you whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with being happy. But let me tell you this now. Use this world, but don't abuse this world. Allow your heart to be united with God. Let us be full persons, body, soul, and spirit. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.